I want you to imagine waking up a couple hundred thousand years ago. No refrigerator, no grocery store, no kitchen, no stove, no knife. And what you have to eat is whatever your family managed to gather that day. Maybe a handful of berries, some roots dug from the ground, and if you're fortunate, a piece of meat from an animal your group managed to kill, but more likely was killed by something else and you managed to scavenge it before something else did. And now you have to eat it. The meat is tough. The roots are fibrous. The grains, if you can find them, are nearly impossible to chew, leading to a lot of dental problems. Every bite carries a risk. You know, parasites don't care that you're hungry. And the bacteria who had been on the planet billions of years before have no intention of giving up their meal simply because you found it first. And then one day, lightning strikes, and a forest burns. And when the fire finally dies, something extraordinary is waiting in the ashes. Animals caught in the small fire. They smell different, better. And those roots that yesterday were chewing so hard have become soft. Seeds have cracked open. And food that would have taken hours of chewing almost melts in your mouth. Now, nobody standing around that fire knew what a protein was. Nobody had heard of a starch. Nobody knew bacteria or parasites even existed. They didn't have to. They simply noticed something. The food, after it was burned by this fire, tasted better. And the people who ate it seemed to thrive. And with that simple observation, humanity may have taken one of the greatest evolutionary leaps in history. Today, on 4Q, we're going to talk about eating with fire. One of the most extraordinary things that happened to us in modern evolution. I'm Dr. Terry Simpson, and this is 4Q, Fork University, where we make sense of the madness, bust a few myths, and teach you a little bit about food and medicine. I've always been fascinated by the fact that every human culture cooks. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about the Arctic, the Amazon, Africa, Europe, Asia, or the islands in the Pacific. Every civilization has some form of cooking. Now, the ingredients are different, the techniques are different, but the idea is universal. And what the remarkable thing is that we're really the only species that uses fire for cooking. A lion doesn't decide to grill a zebra, and a cow doesn't decide to steam grass. Bears don't gather around a campfire arguing the best way to roast a salmon, although if you have one, the bears will take it from you. But cooking is one of the most defining characteristics of being human. One of the scientists most associated with the idea and thoughts about cooking is this Richard Wrangham. His hypothesis was that cooking played a central role in human evolution by making food easier to digest, allowing us to extract more of the energy and nutrients from what we ate. And I think he's largely right, although, like any scientific theory, parts of it continue to be debated. What surprises me isn't the science. It's what social media did to it. And somehow, the story went humans evolved eating meat, therefore the ideal human diet is steak. But that's not the story at all. The story isn't the meat. The story is the fire, because fire transformed everything. Now let's start with what happens when we cook food. Heat begins unfolding proteins, making them easier for our digestive enzymes to break apart. Connective tissue softens, muscle becomes tender, and the digestive work has already begun before the first bite reaches your stomach. And it happens with grains, and it happens with plants. Things become softer, the plant cells break down, the nutrition becomes easier to get at. But meat isn't the biggest story because those plants really are, because cooking changes the carbohydrates. It gelatinizes starches, breaks down the plant cell wall, and makes calories that were locked away suddenly available. The raw potato isn't very appetizing. It's hard, chalky, difficult to digest. Cook that same potato and you've completely transformed it. The starch becomes more available, the texture becomes soft, and the flavor changes dramatically. The same thing happens with beans, with grains, with roots and tubers that may have sustained entire populations long before agriculture. Fire didn't create the carnivore diet. Fire made plants better, too. And that's an important distinction because evolution didn't reward humans for eating one perfect food. It rewarded humans for being remarkably adaptable. We learned to eat whatever our environment offered, and then we learned how to make it better. Now, as a surgeon, I think the biggest advantage of cooking may not have been the calories at all, but it may have been what it did to infection. We think of sterilization as a modern idea. We think about autoclaves, antibiotics, gloves, operating rooms. But long before Louis Pasteur explained germs, our ancestors had already stumbled onto one of the greatest public health interventions in history. Heat kills many bacteria. Heat destroys parasites, and heat makes food safer. Now think about what that means. Imagine two neighboring groups of early humans. One regularly cooks food. The other eats everything raw. The group that cooks experiences fewer foodborne illnesses, fewer children die from severe diarrhea, and adults spend less time weakened by infection. Mothers have healthier pregnancies. More people survive long enough to teach the next generation what they've learned. And that is what we call an evolutionary advantage. Cooking didn't just help us get more calories. It helped us keep them. And then something happened that evolution probably loved just as much. Food became delicious. Now, we often talk about nutrition as though flavor is somehow separate from biology. It isn't. If a food tastes good, you're more likely to eat it again. That's basic survival. Take steak tartare. If you love good steak tartare, it's amazing. But let's be honest about what makes it delicious. It isn't simply raw beef. It's raw beef with egg yolk, mustard, capers, shallots, herbs, pepper, and carefully prepared by someone who knows exactly what they're doing. But if you take a piece of that tiny raw beef before everything else goes in the bowl, taste it. Now then, compare that to a beautifully grilled steak with a dark crust and that unmistakable aroma coming off the grill. The difference isn't subtle. The difference is something we call the Maillard reaction. That's when the proteins and the sugars are heated together. They create hundreds of new flavor compounds. It's why roasted coffee smells so different than green coffee beans. It's why fresh bread develops that incredible crust. It's why onions become sweet when caramelized. Fire didn't just reveal calories, it gave us flavor. And here's another fascinating twist. Did you know that chimpanzees have been observed foraging after natural forest fires, taking advantage of foods that have been roasted by the flames? In experiments, chimpanzees consistently prefer foods that are cooked over raw food when given the opportunity. I wonder, did our ancestors notice the same thing after wildfires? Did early humans learn by watching nature? Did chimpanzees and humans arrive at the same conclusion but independently? I don't know. We'll never know. And I hope we never lose our appreciation for saying those three words. We don't know. Because science isn't weakened by unanswered questions. It is driven by them. When I hear someone confidently proclaim that human evolution proves we should eat only meat, I can't help but smile. If eating nothing but ribeye automatically made someone an expert in anthropology, evolutionary biology, and nutrition, I'd expect a very different level of conversation online. And so far, the evidence for that particular hypothesis is, well, let's just say it's underwhelming. But the real lesson from human evolution is far more interesting. Our ancestors weren't successful because they found one magical food. They were successful because they found a way to transform almost every food they encountered. They made it safer, they made it easier to digest, and they made it taste better. And while dinner cooked over that first fire, something else was probably happening. People were waiting together, talking together, teaching children, planning tomorrow's hunt, sharing stories. Maybe civilization didn't begin with a city. Maybe it began with a campfire, and someone wondered whether dinner was ready. Or, what shall we cook on that fire tonight? I can only imagine it. And yes, we managed to denature proteins other ways. Ceviche is simply proteins placed in a citric acid where those proteins denature, the bacteria and parasites are killed, and it makes a delicious way to enjoy seafood. But let's face it, fire is what makes us humans human. Thanks for listening. For more information about this, please see the blog associated with this at yourdoctorsorders.com and forku.com. And for more in-depth references, you can find it at my Substack, which can be found at drsimpson.com. And while I am a physician, I am not your physician. And by the way, if you're thinking about changing your diet, please see your board-certified physician and a registered dietitian, not a chiropractor, not an Eastern-trained shaman, not someone who calls themselves a functional or integrative nutritionist or doctor, because those are just witch doctors, in my opinion. You deserve to see someone who actually has training and background in this. All things audio are done by my friends at Simpler Media and the pod god himself, Mr. Eve Otero. And Producer Girl Productions makes me sound far better than I am and more of an interesting person than I am. Those who know me know the boring person I am. Anyway, everybody, have a good week. And when you're cooking that steak or that chicken or sautéing those vegetables or doing something with fire or heat this week, just remember, you are part of the evolutionary biology that has advanced mankind, his brain, and his body for the last couple hundred thousand years. Pretty amazing. I'm Dr. Simpson. Have a good week. Hey, Evo, if you had to choose between inventing fire or inventing bread, which one do you think changed humanity more? And then don't tell me sourdough, because you know that's just cheating.
I can only assume you're talking about the amazing American soft rock band from Los Angeles, California that was active between 1970 and 1977. Let's hear it from bread. Shit, now we're gonna get sued. Sorry.